I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
For me, the whole issue is one of globalization. It's not about Manafort or Cohen or Trump. The overall debate, if you lift yourself up from the weeds, is about globalization. Trump, he was elected by people who had witnessed a loss of jobs, loss of manufacturing jobs, loss of electronics jobs. And so all those jobs go overseas for no reason. People who have witnessed situations like we have in China, where our intellectual property has been ripped off for years, sold into other companies, then sold right back into the United States. Anybody that's been in the technology business knows that that happens. I saw it myself. I personally saw it with respect to my relationships with Korea and Taiwan. I'm not picking on those two countries. They were entrepreneurs. We'd let them do it. We provided a situation where they could do it, and they took advantage of it. And I saw many, many companies go out of business in California, giving up that business to companies overseas. Trump gets elected, and what does he try to do? Bring back steel, bring back coal, bring back manufacturing like Foxconn back to the United States. I don't know if he can do it, because it took 40 years or 50 years to move it offshore, little at a time. Can he bring it back in 2-3 years? I don't think so. Can he bring back some of it? Maybe. And if he's gone, what will happen? We will become, not we will become, but the globalization people will become in power. I'm not sure exactly what that means, like who that is, but it's people that believe that, hey, if they can make it cheaper in China, let them. The fact that they have different environmental standards, different tax standards, different other kinds of standards, doesn't make any difference. They can make it cheaper and sell it back to us, let them do it. Where does that put America? Well, we still have our farms, but it puts us as the weapon builder and supplier of the world. Who else builds weapons on the scale that we do but us? The globalization people, they have this pure view of the world that every country will wind up doing what it can do best. I guess that means that all customer service will be done in India because they seem to be able to get on the phone and learn reasonable English. All electronics manufacturing will be done in China. I don't know what Canada will do. I don't know what Mexico will do. Maybe they'll just go on making drugs. And we'll make weapons. We'll make airplanes, and we'll make rockets that can shoot down another plane or destroy a part of a country at 35 or 40 miles away. Because that's what we've been doing. See, in globalization, that's what happens. And that's what's been happening. Trump tried to stop it. Now, whether they try to impeach Trump or not, I just think Trump should give up. No, that's not right. I don't think he should give up. But I think it's an uphill road. It's an uphill boulder that he's pushing. And all the time, if he just stops for a second, this boulder is going to roll back and crush him. I like paying lower taxes. I like seeing some manufacturing jobs come back to the United States. I like it when steel companies start making steel here, and when we don't have to import steel for the San Francisco Bridge in California. Yeah, people forgot that, but The steel for that Oakland Bay Bridge in California all came from China. China financed it. Where was U.S. Steel? Does anybody here under 30 know who U.S. Steel was? The largest steel producer in the world? Or Bethlehem Steel Corporation? Most people don't even know who they are. I was around during the demise of some of those activities. That's right. I was able to make steel things in Holland and ship them back to the United States cheaper than I can make them here because of the rules that we have here for manufacturing are different. Labor, by the way, is not cheaper in Holland. I'll give you an example of that just to be specific. So that some of you out there that are saying, well, that's just a general statement there, Bob, can you be specific? Okay, I'll be specific. I used to manufacture pumps in the United States. I had good friends at Bethlehem Steel and good friends at a firm called Landstry Snake in Holland. So I got a bid from Landstry Snake to build these pumps in Holland and ship them over here, and in some cases bring them over on a plane and drop them off in JFK and then ship them by truck down to Pennsylvania. And I could do that cheaper that I could get them built in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by Bethlehem Steel Corporation. Okay, so my friend at Bethlehem Steel said, Bob, you're lying to us. It's not true. You can't be able to do that. I said, well, I'm not lying to you, and I can do it. So I did something I probably shouldn't do or shouldn't have done. I pulled out my bid estimate from Landstry Snake and showed it to a vice president of Bethlehem Steel. And he immediately saw the difference and explained it to me. He said, well, now I see. And I said, well, explain it to me. He said, well, let's say you have a steel pump that you're making and it takes 1 hour of painting. Well, our union rules here say that we have to charge 4 hours. Let's say you got 1 hour of sanding. Well, our union rules here say we got 4 hours. We got to charge 4 hours even though it's an hour work because it's a different person that does it. And what about boxing it up or shipping it? He went down the line. So every time there'd be like 30 minutes or an hour's work of a certain skill, they would have to charge 4 hours because a different person was doing it. And then you look at Landstry Snake's bid. It was the same person. They sanded the steel down, they painted the steel, they boxed it up, they shipped it. One person did it all. It wasn't divided up into 15 different skills, each skill getting 4 hours of pay for 1 hour of work. That's the truth. My friend from Bethlehem Steel couldn't believe it. And I said, well, if you get some union waivers on this, we can get them all built here. Because your labor rate in Bethlehem is cheaper than the labor rate in Holland. He tried, but he could not get any waivers. And as a result, we made our pumps in Holland, brought them over by boat or air transport. Big steel pumps by air transport. Yeah, there's a short story on that. We unloaded some of them off of a 747 at John F. Kennedy Airport. One of them rolled out of the cargo area and rolled across a new Mercedes-Benz and destroyed it. Anyway, it's a side point. So what's the whole point of that? It's about globalization. And when I hear about impeachment and the Democrats coming in, what I'm really hearing is that we're going to roll back the tax cuts. We're not going to worry about immigration anymore. We're going to push toward universal health care. We're going to push toward, I don't know what other things the Democrats believe in, but fundamentally, we won't have tariffs. We probably won't have intellectual property protection over the next 10 or 15 years as we do now. That could change. See, some of these things take a long time. China doesn't worry about intellectual property protection. They believe just the opposite. They believe you can innovate without patents. We don't in the United States. We protect our innovators. They think that's ridiculous. That's why they don't worry about it. So believe me, young people, people that are 30 years old, 35 years from now, you could develop an invention, not be able to patent it, and have it built by somebody in China who just disclosed it to and sold back in the United States, and you wouldn't make a nickel. Oh, you don't think that's possible? Well, it's happening now, but not to the extent it might happen if we dropped all of our intellectual property protections, patents, copyrights, etc. Where would Disney be if they couldn't copyright Mickey Mouse? So let's get back to Trump for a second. Trump turns dirt into gold. If you have some dirt on Trump, this is money in your pocket. There's no question now that every criminal, every bad guy, every person in prison has crossed Trump's path any time in the last 60 years can claim they have some dirt on Trump and get paid for it. It could be verified by another criminal. The verification process is not very severe for most publications. So you can turn some, if you have some dirt on Trump, it's a moneymaker. Even if it's not real. I would bet right now that if you could get inside Mueller's team, they're being inundated with people that have some dirt from Trump's past. I slept with Trump. I did so-and-so with Trump. We opened up a false bank account with Trump. I helped him hide money in Bermuda. I helped him pay off the unions when he's building his hotels. But I need money for that. I'm even willing to sign an affidavit that I committed a criminal act. Even if that act is not criminal, I'll say it was a criminal act, as long as I get off from the criminal act and somehow I get paid for my dirt. Yes, that's kind of what Cohen has done. Campaign contributions are not illegal. And before I get into that, I'm not an attorney, but I'm just listening to all the lawyers. And isn't it a little bit disgusting? Prominent lawyers very clearly explain that what Trump did is not illegal, that it's not a campaign finance violation. Other lawyers say it is a campaign finance violation. So who knows the law? And why make jokes at Giuliani when he talks about the truth is the truth? Because what's the law? If lawyers are all went to the same school and all read the same book, how come they have two completely divergent views of the law? And they do in the case of Cohen. And the other thing about Cohen's affidavit is that it's not his decision as to what's a criminal act. That's a legal interpretation. I know he's a lawyer. But who wrote that phrase in his, not his affidavit, but when he made statements and made a declaration. He declared something was a criminal act. And Trump's ability to turn somebody else's dirt into gold is absolutely verifiable. Look around at all the people that come forward with dirt and convert it to gold. National Enquirer pays for it. They get paid to shut up about it, whether it's right or wrong, because they understand people that are in the real world, people that do real things, understand that perception often trumps reality and truth. If you don't perceive me be telling the truth, then chances are you're not going to believe me. I heard Trump say the other day that he's making a lot of people money, and he certainly is. I wish I had crossed paths with Trump. I might be able to convert some of that dirt into money. But believe me, Mueller's got his hands full, and there's going to be more dirt come out in the next 6 months on Trump than I believe a person could ever imagine. Some of that is just a sign of the times. And Owen is an example. I mean, Owen has worked for three or four different presidents, but the only president that's relevant in Owen's work is Trump. The only president that's relevant to what Mueller is doing is Trump. What about his work with Bush or his work with Reagan? I think he worked for Clinton. I'm not sure about that. But he looked for a number of presidents. Mueller's team is going to uncover dirt everywhere. Because you can't do what Trump has done without pissing off a lot of people. And maybe, digging up a little dirt. Maybe that's what it takes. And I have one last thought. I'd like to see some debates. Not Republican versus Democrat debates. I'd like to see Tucker Carlson debate Morning Joe. That would be interesting to see two passionate, knowledgeable, articulate people express their points of view so that the American people can see which one is most believable, which one has more facts. I'd like to see Hannity debate Rachel Maddow. What an exciting debate that would be. Both people are articulate. Both people are expressive. Both people have a handle on the facts. This would be a fun debate. Right now, what happens? I listen to Maddow. You know, she sounds pretty persuasive. Listen to Hannity. He sounds pretty persuasive. We only get one side of the story depending on who you listen to. If you just listen to Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Marsha McCallum, you probably don't hear the other side. Although Tucker, every once in a while, brings on a Democrat and shows me how little the Democrats know about what is going on or what's important. But that's beside the point. That's more opinion than fact. What about debates between these people, Hannity versus Maddow, and Tucker Carlson versus Morning Joe? See, both shows are after eyeballs. Maddow's after eyeballs, Hannity's after eyeballs. That's how they make money. If nobody watched them, they wouldn't make any money. Because they make money through advertising, through eyeballs. Let them debate each other. I think it would be one of the most watched debates since the presidential debates. I'd like to see Rachel Maddow say something, make a declaratory statement, and Hannity say, that's just not true, and here's why. And vice versa. Hannity would say something, and Maddow would say, that's just not true, and here's the reason why. See, this is some fun debates. We could see their personalities. We could see how well their declarations stand up against counterpoints by other people who believe just as passionately about their position as the other person. In other words, Maddow is passionate about what she believes. Trump's a crook. Hannity is pretty passionate about Maddow. She's a crook. Everybody's out to get Trump. I don't think for a minute everybody's out to get Trump. But I do think this. We live in a competitive society. We are raised to be competitive. Football teams play competitively. We play to be the number one football team. We play to be the number one basketball team. We play to beat the other guy. We do the same in politics. We play to beat the other person. And there are some rules, but we can break them if we want, as long as we get away with it. See, we're in a competitive environment. We're taught to be competitive. We're taught to take a position. We're really not taught to be objective. We are taught to be passionate. Football players play aggressively. Politicians play aggressively. So in closing on this August 23rd, I just leave you with the following kinds of ideas. If you get a chance, support debates between Hanratty and Maddow and Carlson and Morning Joe. Support those things. And watch for all the dirt to come out. And every person that brings out some dirt should write Trump a thank you letter. Dear Trump, I didn't think that thing we did together 15 years ago would be worth $200,000 today with the National Enquirer. But I thank you very much for it. I'm sorry I have to disclose it, but I need the money. And there you have it. It's a competitive world. If Trump leaves, for any reason, we'll wind up being, in 25 years, the weapons supplier of the world. That will be our thing that we do. Because under globalization, that's what we've been good at. See you later on this Thursday afternoon, coming to you from the heartland of America. There's a lot going on. A lot of it's personality related. Have a good day and tune in tomorrow. I've got some very, very good insights into what's going on in this whole Cohen deal. I'm going to have a prediction about what Mueller is going to come up with. It won't be long, and he's going to come up with it. I'm going to make my prediction tomorrow or maybe Saturday, depending on how much time that I have. So have a good day. Think about these things. Give it some serious thought. And tune in and stay tuned. I've got some things to say. I think you want to hear them. If for no other reason, I am older than most of you out there. And no, that doesn't provide intelligence, but it does provide perspective. Remember what Harry Truman said, and I've said it many times. Truman said, the only history you don't know about is the history you haven't read about. Signing off for today, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com on August the 23rd. Coming to you from the heartland of America. Have a great day. Bob brought to you courtesy of